We are heading into the Word of God, Revelations chapter number 3. Revelations chapter number 3, verse number 8 is where we are going. I'm going to be referencing a few scriptures, and unfortunately my computer printed some of these out in ESV version, so if they're not exactly like yours, trust me, it wasn't on purpose. And once I was already at church, I couldn't go back home and change that. But we're going to try to read just from my Bible. Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 8. If we could stand for the reading of the Word of God. I know you've stood a lot today. Verse number 8 reads like this. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Amen. And then Revelation or Matthew chapter. You know what? Let's do Revelation 3:20 while we're there. While we're in that same chapter. Verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Matthew chapter number 7, verse 7 in the English Standard Version reads like this. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you. There is something about knowing a God that would seek a people when he didn't have to. A God that longs to have a communion with a people that had rejected him, that had stood against him. And today I want to preach just for a little while simply on the topic of doors. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we love you and we ask you, God, one more time to come down and minister and commune and season our minds with your gospel, with your love, with your mercy, with your grace. And we ask you, God, to help us to impart something into someone today that will challenge them, that will stretch them, that will push them and draw them a little closer to you than they've ever been before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Throughout Scripture, we find many references to doors. Doors and gates scripturally have a lot of meaning. Even in the Old Testament, we find a time with a very troubled time of the children of Israel, but yet a miraculous time as the children of Israel were there in Egypt. And it came time that God said, I'm going to take you out. I'm going to get you out of this place. This has only been a place of preservation. It's only been a place that I could provide for you and keep you and nourish you. But it's not in my intention that you be a servant or a slave. But I've called you to be more than that. There's a land of promise that I'm going to take you in. But the problem is to get from here to there is going to be a bloody process. The Old Testament was riddled with talking of slaying lambs and things that most of us probably don't care to even think about, the process of what goes into that. And my daughter yesterday, as she killed her deer for the year and filled our freezer up, she got to hunt and Dad didn't. She just hunted with Dad never even shot a deer with that gun. She's hunted with it every year and killed deer with it. I don't even know what it is to shoot a deer with that gun yet. It's a brand new gun. But I looked at some of those pictures as she's studying to be a nurse and a nurse practitioner. She took some pictures of the insides of that deer that I've seen many times, but I didn't want to stop and just look at for a long period of time. It was knowing I was going to have to eat that meat. It was one of those things that you kind of get the process done and get it to the, you know, to the cutting board and the cutting table and put it in packages and cook it. And my beautiful wife can put some beautiful things on the tray to make it look a lot better. And I don't think about what it was when I was opening that thing up for the first time. But that process of getting out of Egypt required the process of killing a lamb. And you taking that lamb's blood and scripturally, that father of that home had to take that blood and he had to paint it upon the doorposts. He had to put it over top of the threshold, and that was something that would cause the death angel, when it would come over, to recognize that this is a house that has a covering. It has protection. It has obedience. Now, you've got to understand that blood meant more than just the blood. It wasn't just a mortal lamb. As we were down in Tennessee, and we had some friends of ours that raises lambs and raises goats, and we were able to partake of some of that meat from a lamb and from a goat. And you either like it or you don't like it. It's kind of one of those meats that you either enjoy that type of meat or you don't. But in raising those things, you find that those lambs in that process, it's quite a unique thing, because those lambs are very, very... they don't have a mind of their own. A lamb is a follower. A lamb is something that has to have a leader. It's necessary for a lamb to have that. And the Bible says he was like a lamb and he was headed for the slaughter. And you know, it was one of those things that he was giving a picture of what he was willingly doing. And that lamb blood on that doorpost was representing more than just a lamb dying in the Old Testament. But it was giving a shadow of the New Testament to show us that if you've got the blood applied to your life, there's going to be a Passover. There's going to be something that's going to give you the protection in the time of storm. We don't have to worry about things in this life if we recognize the value of who's at the door. That door scripturally had a lot of meanings, and in the Old Testament you recognize that those gates of those cities represented not to keep the people in, but it was to keep the enemy what? Out. How many of you, I won't make you raise your hands. Many people still yet today leave their doors unlocked. I've had people tell me that, you know, our kids just come and go and they do as they want and we don't use keys at our house. And my heart sank and I thought, who does that? I guess you're more trusting than I am. It's one of those things that we understand that locks on a door serve a purpose. Those doors are to keep things on the outside that are supposed to be on the outside. We must understand living for God was not to be something that was meant to box us in. The life that we live, the walk with God that we have, as I said at the beginning of service, is by choice. It's not that God come down and beat us over the head and said, you're going to live for me. No, we got up and said, we're going to live for you because we want to live for you. Your perception of God matters. It means something. And when you look at God as not as a big God with a big hammer standing over saying, as soon as you step out of bounds, I'm going to... But our perception in the world oftentimes of God is just that. We have a big misperception of what God is. And the Bible tells us that God is a God that is standing at the door. And he is just knocking. He's just longing for someone to open the door. And he said, when they will open that door, I will come in. I will cross that threshold. He said, and I will sup with them, and they will sup with me. You know what that means? We're going to have communion. We're going to feed together. We're going to recognize what it is to have fellowship. How many knows what fellowship is? Some of you, in the last couple of weeks, we've been spending some more time with different folks just trying to bridge that gap of fellowship, because it's necessary, and there's a reason for that. We need those things. If you don't have friends that you hang out with and spiritually gain strength from... you need to find some. You need to reach out to some. You need to show yourself friendly, because it's important. And that is exactly what we need to do with Jesus Christ. We've got to spend some time with him. We've got to know him in a deeper way. And if you know what I was preaching about, those of you that were here on Wednesday night, you've got to have some meat. You've got to have something that can carry you. Just a bread and lettuce won't get the job done to a hungry individual. You know what that means? because I got up and I put my tie on and I put my suit on and I combed my hair and I brushed my teeth and I put a breath mint in my mouth and I had a cup of coffee and my wife even brought me a sweet tea. Just showing up to church doesn't get the job done. Just showing up to church just means I went to church. But he's looking for relationship. He's looking something for something every single day of the week. That you go to bed and you don't worry and your frets are gone. And you know him and he knows you. And you've got a communication open. And you know what? When you go to lunch in your lunch hour and everybody else is doing their thing, you can sit there and take just a couple of minutes and spend a little time with God. And you can really know him. This world robs themselves so often because they never learn to open the door. You see, those doors are meant to swing oftentimes in our lives. Doors have different purposes. Doors have different things. In our version, we want to keep things out that should be out. And you've got to understand, you let the things in that should be in and the things out that should be out. I can recall my mom still and even my wife telling our kids, "Would you please shut the door? I'm trying to heat this house." Some of you have probably already said that yet this year already. Gas isn't cheap. And when I was growing up, we was heating the house with wood. It didn't take me long to learn. The more I keep the door shut, the less wood I got to carry in. Didn't take long to figure that out. But there is something about recognizing we as individuals must learn. There are some things we shouldn't open the door for. In raising children, in raising homes, in living our lives, there's a lot of things trying to protrude into our lives and into our homes and into our minds. And there are some things that we must recognize. Some things are worth keeping in the house and some things you better keep on the outside. There is things in this world that's trying to push itself into the minds of individuals and the minds of people. And it's trying to creep into their thinking. And there's a generation out there that has the mind that says, you know what, I don't have to answer to anybody. I'll live my own life, and when I die, I'm just going to be dead, and that's it. There is no God, there is no heaven, there is no hell. And as I preached last Sunday, you better go back to the book and read it one more time, because there is a heaven, and there is a hell, and there is a recompense and consequences to getting the doors, unfortunately, in the right position. We as individuals cannot just leave things to just question. We better not just leave things open, just wondering. And this society says we just got to keep an open mind. Open mind is good if you've got discernment of the Holy Ghost. Without discernment of the Holy Ghost, an open mind can lead you down paths that you'll never get back from. Lead you down roads that you wish you would have never taken. Lead you down things that you somehow are going to wake up one day and you're going to wish you could change some things. You're going to wish you could get back to a place of an almighty God. And somehow, some way, you got to recognize that there are some things you better protect. The door of your mind. Door of your heart, this mind that oftentimes wanders and to and fro and does things and challenges things and causes us to question whether there's a God, whether there's not a God. We sometimes need to recognize there are times that we need to put the devil right where he belongs, and that's out the door, out of my mind. Get behind me, Satan. You don't control this place anymore. I used to maybe allow that door to swing both ways, but now that door doesn't swing that way anymore, devil. You get out from this place. I was dismayed as I was looking through. Some of you, if you didn't notice, there on the foyer, there is a clip from Fox News that they think they have found Pontius Pilate's signet ring that they would use to possibly to stamp his signet on things take dating back, they say, possibly very back to the crucifixion of Jesus, which is an amazing thing in itself. I printed it off. I put it out there in the foyer. If you want to look at that, go ahead, or you can look it up yourself. But in the same news site, I've ran across something that is a new fad. This fad is black Christmas trees. Anybody heard this yet? I had not heard this either, but it is a new fad, and there are a lot of stores beginning to carry these, and it's a gothic thing that's coming out, and I almost did not believe my eyes as I was looking through these you know how they'll have the little pictures on the news clips, and I looked at that picture, and I thought, is that really what I'm seeing? And I zoomed in on the picture to see what the shirt of the person standing next to the black Christmas tree said. When I zoomed in, it said, "Satan is my father." My heart sunk. I thought, this generation has no clue the doors that they are opening into their mind and into their world, that they have no clue what consequences come with opening some of those doors, the challenges that come with those things. There is something that we must understand. We must protect those things that we have in our mind. We must protect those things that we have in our spirit. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And last time I checked, we serve a God that's on the winning side, and we serve a God that's not defeated. He's alive and well in 2018, and I don't believe we need to stand back and fret over a devil, but I also don't believe we ought to give him room to work in our lives. Some of the things that we are coming across in today's society would shock us. It would take our minds into a whole nother place. But we must understand, the one that's standing at the door of your life today is the one that can change your world. You see, the Bible says the devil came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. We must understand in that open mind stance that the world is taking today. We must understand the devil came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jokingly, just the other night, I leaned over to my wife as we were eating dinner, and I said, "Can I steal that salt?" She quickly scolded me. She said, "I don't like that terminology." I said, "Okay, I'll borrow it, and then I'll give it back. How's that? I just need some salt on my potatoes." But the devil sees an open door. He's not like God. God will stand there until you beckon him in the door. The devil sees an open door, and he's going to rush in. He's going to run in. You know what? Some of the music that's playing in the children's mind, and they put those ear beats in their ears. Come on, let me be pastor for a few minutes. And it's pounding the abuse and the pornography and the sex and the drugs and the garbage that's going into their mind over and over and over and over and over and over again. You know what that does? It causes an effect on the mind of that child. You better be careful the things that you allow into that mind. You better be careful the things you allow into those eyes. You better be careful the things that we ingest into our bodies. The Bible says, "Know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost?" There is something here that houses inside of me. Is the Spirit of God, and this temple is worth protecting. The Bible says we must have this house filled with something, and it's referencing the fact that at one point in Scripture it says that those devils come back and they find the house all swept and clean, but nothing inhabiting that body. It says they come back with seven more, all the worse. You know what that's selling us? It's one thing to be baptized in Jesus' name and have our heart cleaned and our mind cleaned and our spirit cleaned and our sins washed away. But we better fill that temple up with something. That's the value of having the power of the Holy Ghost. He said, "You shall be endued with power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you." You know what that was? That's the power to look that devil square in the eye and say, "You know what? I may have left the door open before, and I may not have known when you come come in. But understand now, there's a new ruler in this temple, and it's God Almighty. In the name of Jesus Christ, get out of my life. Get out of my children. Get out of my home. Get out of my mind. And we better make sure that we close the door to keep the things on the outside that should be on the outside. That blood on that doorpost meant more than just something to do that night. The Bible says when that death angel came over and he found those houses that had the blood applied, that death angel passed over those houses. The Bible says when morning came, there was a blood-curdling cry across all of Egypt because the firstborn of every house was taken. What separated death from life was what was on the door. How many of you remember the old commercial? They probably still have it. We'll leave the light on for you. We'll leave the light on. Was it Motel 6? Is that the one it was? Hi, this is Tom Bodette. I still remember. We'll leave the light on for you. There are some things we must understand. God stops at nothing, but so does the devil. What did he say when the story of Job? He said, I've been to and fro. I've been about looking. What was he looking for? He was looking for another one that he could mess up their life. He says, but Jesus says, have you considered? Have you considered my servant Job? What about that one? He says, well, I can't touch him. You've got him protected. You know what that little insight's telling us? That if you get it right with God, the devil has to get permission to come mess with your world. When you get it right with God, there's value to that. There's protection that goes along with that. You know what? When you trust God with every part of your life, you're trusting Him with your finances. You're trusting Him with your spirituality. You trust Him with your children. You trust Him with every single thing. With your marriage, with your job, with your home. Every single part of your life. You know what you're doing? You're putting them under the umbrella. You're putting them under that protected state that says, you know what? I'm not going to leave this vulnerable. And everything you try to hold on the outside, you're leaving vulnerable to be attacked by the forces of this world. There comes a point in our lives that we must recognize some things are worth fighting for. I'm glad that little one's there today. Isn't that beautiful? I will try not to wake her. The little girl. I'll try not to wake her up. But I remember taking that little one when she was that stage. You know, the hardest thing for a daddy to do is to give something that's his, bring it to an altar, and give it to God. You know the harder thing than that is? Let them become this age and still trust God. It's one thing to give them to God, but my question for us today is, do we still trust God with them? There comes a point when you recognize and you understand what is inside that home, what is inside that house, if it's sanctified, if it's purified, it's under the protection of God. You've allowed God to come in, and you've allowed God to be God of your home. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There is something about knowing the high priest of the home. There is something about allowing God to be the supreme high priest of your home, and allowing God to be God of your life. And there is repercussions to not doing that, but there's way more blessings to doing that. And we always look on the negative side, that you know what, maybe I can't have this pleasure over here. But notice what the Bible says, the pleasure of sin is but for a season, but the end is death. It's just for a while. It's only fun for a while. But when you look over here, you know what it is to look at people that's lived for God all their lives, and you find they're still married after 30, 40, 50, 60 years, and watching them. I was talking to my grandma just a while back, just a couple of weeks ago, as I was at a birthday party up there in Edwardsburg, Michigan. She looked at me and she said, "Son, when your grandpa passed away," she said, "it took the wind out of my sails. They'd been married nearly all their lives. Got married at a very young age." She said, "Brent, I went to bed that night." She said, "I laid there and closed my eyes," and you can just see my grandma Smith saying this. And she said, "I closed my eyes like this. And she said, I said, 'God, if you want to take me, I'd just soon go be with him and you than be here.'" She opened her eyes and she looked at me. She says, "But he didn't take me, so I'm still here." You know what she was telling me? She had trusted God with everything in her life. When God came knocking on the door, she didn't say, "Well, you can come in and have dinner, but you got to go back out for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'll meet you back here on Sunday." Are you hearing the theme that I'm trying to put in your spirits? This is not a Sunday religion. This is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We bring God to church with us. We don't come meet God at church. God is a part of everything in our lives. And when we allow that door to open and we hear that knock, we've got to learn to discern the spirits and recognize when he knocks, I better open that door and allow him to come in and be God of my life. But be careful that you don't, after Sunday, say, "God, I'm going to leave you here at church. I'm going to go live my life over here. I'll be back next Sunday, though, God. You can count on it." Because there's going to come one Sunday, he's there waiting, and you don't show up. You see, that's not an issue when you take God with you, because he's there. It's an old song that says, "He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time." You know what I picture that as? We have the door shut. God's propped up on the doorpost saying, "I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm still here." How many is thankful God doesn't give up on us? I'm bringing it in for a closing. There came a point in Scripture when the disciples became frustrated. He said, "God, how many times do you expect us to do this?" He just pulled a number out of the air that was astronomical. He said, "Do it 70 times 7. When you're tired of doing it, still do it. You know why? Because that's what I do." How many recognizes there's times that we mess it up? We put God outside that door. And we lock the door on him as well as we do the devil. We allow things in and we leave God on the outside. We let the devil come in and run rampant. And we mess it all up and we make a big chaotic mess in our home. How many is glad God doesn't show up and say, looking through the window, "Told you that was going to happen, didn't I? Blew it again, didn't you? Think I'll go to the next house." No, he knows what's in there. He comes to the door again, over and over and over and over and over and over again. Because he knows there's going to come a day that you're going to really give him your heart.
and you're going to get it right. And you know what? It's not going to be just a dinner with God. It's not going to be a date night on Sunday with the King of Kings. But he knows you're going to give him your life. And now you're going to be totally committed. And you know what? What's yours is his and his is yours. We don't have separate bank accounts. We don't have separate doctor bills. You know what? Before I go to the doctor, I bow my knee and say, God, it's me again. I got something going on in here and I don't know what it is. But I'll let you heal me, God, if you'll do that. If not, I'll go down there and get some medicine. And me and the doctor will see if we can fix it. But I want to just get your opinion first, God.
But how often do we not even bother praying anymore? How often do we just go get second, third, fourth, and fifth opinions? And we never even stop to ask God anymore because we put more faith in what we think. And God's standing there all the time saying, are you going to let me be God? Or am I just somebody you seek counsel from once in a while? My question for us today in closing is simply this. What kind of door do you have in your life? What traverses the doors of your life? What comes in and what goes out? What access do they have? What have you protected and left unprotected? Do you allow God in once a week? Or are you like that little lady that says, I'll build you a room. And anytime it's your house, it's my house. Because I didn't have anything to offer. But you showed kindness to me. Because I showed kindness to you. You know that little Shunammite woman, when it came trouble in her life, the Bible said that the man of God prophesied and said, what can I give you to show the kindness that you showed me? She said, I don't need anything. I just want to be of service to God. I just want to do what's right. Gentleman standing next to the prophet, I believe it was Gehazi, I said, you got to understand, she's never had a child. The man of God looked her square in the eyes. It's about this time, next year, you're going to have a child. The Bible says she took that child and raised that child, and it was about 12 years old, and there came a point when that child fell in the field and hit its head. The Bible says it went in and the mother held that baby in their arms. Brother Humphreys probably recognized many women like this with a child. Holding that baby until it was gone. Rocking that baby. The Bible says when that baby finally lost its breath and it was gone, she took that baby and she laid it aside. And she got up. She didn't tell nobody. She just went out the house. One of the servants said, where are you going? What's going on? And she got closer to the man of God. He was way off down the road. She got closer. Man of God said, I want you to go down there. That looks like the Shunammite woman. And she seems to be that there's something wrong. I want you to go down, run and go see what's going on. And that servant got to that Shunammite lady. And he says, is there something wrong? Is there something wrong with the lad? You know what her response was? All is well. All is well. You know what she was saying? I've trusted God with every single thing of my life. I don't fret and I don't worry now. All is well. My baby is laying there, but all is well. And when she got to the man of God, she fell at his feet. And you know what she was saying? I didn't ask for the blessing. You gave me the blessing. I didn't ask for the miracle. You gave me the miracle. All I'm asking is that my miracle live again. And you know what that man of God said? Your miracle will live again. And I'm preaching to some folks here today that feels like you've cashed it all in. You have nothing else to offer. But I'm telling you, if you can get back to the same God, if you can still get back to the same one knocking on the door the first time, he'll heal your world again and again and again. Let's all stand. I don't know where you're at in your walk with God. I don't know what it is in your lives that the devil has beat you up over and frustrated you over and caused you to fret and doubt and fear and frustrate yourself. But Pastor came to tell us all as a church here today, you need to check the door just one more time. Because in the chaos, the noise of your life, oftentimes you don't recognize that still small voice when he's knocking and he's trying to let you know, I'm still here. But we don't hear it sometimes simply because we've got too much chaos in our world. We've done written ourselves off. We say, God wouldn't love me. God couldn't surely care that much for me. He'll never be back. And the whole time, he's standing there knocking again and again and again. You know what he's trying to tell you from this preacher one more time today? I still love you. I love you more than you could ever imagine. All I ask is you love me. If you'll just open the door, I will come into you. And what world looks like it's a mess and chaos right now, when I step into that world, things will begin to change. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I don't know what it is in your life that you still try to hang on to God and hang on to yourself. Hang on to the things that you just feel like you can't turn loose of. Pastor's come to tell you today, if you'll trust God with it, he'll fix it. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your salvation. My question for you is, how big of a God do you want God to be in your life? I wonder how many of us would gather in around the front. We're going to do our altar service just a little different today. Let's just all gather in close. We're just a big family today. There's nothing scary about the altar. Nobody's going to lay hands on you or anything. You just won't come up around the front. We're just going to pray together. It's a safe place, trust me. I don't like high pressure either. You know, the safest place in the world is in the presence of the Almighty God. You want to know what feels different in this church today than what you've probably felt in any other church in the world? It's just the presence of God. It's when you walk into his presence, you feel that little pulling on your heart, and you don't know what it is, and it don't feel right, and it kind of scares you. You know what that is? That's God just knocking, saying, I'm still here, and I still love you. You know when you need to get worried? It's when you can't feel that anymore. That's when you should really get nervous. It's when you can't feel the voice of God. You can't hear his voice anymore. See, the difference between the world and us is we know where an altar is.
Do we make mistakes? You bet we don't get it right sometimes. Is there things that I wish as a dad that I could go back and do over? You bet there are, just like you. Did David mess it up time and time again? You bet he did. The key is to remembering where your help comes from. And that's an altar. You say, does that mean I got to go kneel at an altar and I got to cry and I got to pray and I got to boo-hoo and do all of those things? No. An altar can be anywhere you make it. This is just a convenient one because it's close to us all. And it's here available at any time and any moment. But we've made a big mistake. And I know I'm taking a couple extra minutes, but I want to explain a couple of things to us because I think it's going to grow us as a church, especially for our new ones. We've made the altar a place for sinners. An altar is not for sinners. An altar is for saints. Because an altar is what keeps us a saint. Because we ain't a saint all the time. We need to get things right. And an altar is our best friend. That's the place that we go to and we find our strength. We allow ourselves to be kneeling before a God. And we allow ourselves to be transparent before God. That says, you know what, God, I don't have it right. And an altar is a place that we can cast our burdens and our cares and our frustrations and our world. So today, as we're close to this altar, I'm going to ask us all just to bow our heads in closing here. Heavenly Father, I don't know where their world is at today. I don't know exactly what's going on in every world that's represented here today. But you do. You've been at their door before they ever walked into this place. You know their home, you know their family situations, you know their children, you know their life, you know the issues that are in their world, and you know the blessings that are in their world because you've been there the whole time. You never left them. You said you would never leave us nor forsake us. You've stopped at nothing trying to woo them back into your presence one more time. And today, God, as a pastor, I'm that go-between you and them. And I'm trying to reconnect them with you and let you know, God, they're in your presence today, God. They've chosen to be here today. You've drawn them to this place. Now, God, I'm asking you to reach down into their spirit. Let mercy and grace. If you've never repented before, God, I'm asking you right now. Looking into the eyes of an almighty God, an all-loving God. Just, God, I don't get it right sometimes. I don't get it perfect sometimes. And God, I may have made a mistake and things in my world may not be, I may not be worthy to be standing in your presence, God. But I'm asking you, God, to help me get it right. I'm asking you, God, to take my life just in all the mess that it is. I'm asking you, God, to help me to learn to know you in a deeper way than I ever have before. God, I'm asking you to knock on their door that if they've never been baptized in Jesus' name, let them know that's a place that they can leave that old world behind and all things become new again. They get a clean slate, God. I'm asking you to allow that mercy and grace to visit every life here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you've never been baptized in Jesus'